Well, good evening and delighted you can join us here on Terrace Talk on this Monday evening as we talk GAA for almost the whole night, I suppose, and with that important win for Kerry over Mayo, setting up another clash, of course, with our friends in Dublin in a couple of weeks' time. Well, I know many of you were amongst the 70,000 plus fans there in Croke Park yesterday. Did you get home before midnight? Certainly was a long day, particularly, I suppose, with the throw-in starting at 5 p.m. after all that drama with the Armagh and Galway game, and that certainly was a dramatic game. We'll discuss a bit of that as well maybe later on in the show. Of course, Saturday with two other teams in action. It was the end of the road for the Kerry Minor Footballers. They exited to Mayo, and it was a big win for the Kerry Ladies, who defeated Westmeath and secured their spot in the group and set themselves up for a quarter-final spot with Armagh. That will be something exciting to look forward to as well. Now, a lot of things were cancelled over the weekend, of course, with the weather, the Clarney and the Sneem regattas, they went by the wayside. But it was a big weekend for the boys and girls right across the county that took part in the Kerry Community Games in all 36 areas. They sent over 1,200 children, which is an amazing amount of children, to the games, right across a range of track and field and sport events, of course, held on Saturday and Sunday there in Unreacht. Certainly a lot of winners and a lot of losers. And talking about winners, wasn't it fantastic to see Tralee Parnells as well? Some achievement winning Fela, and we might have them in with us maybe next week as well to have a bit of a chat. The other man, of course, who was feeling proud at the end of the weekend was a good old pal of mine, Emmett O'Grady. Not only did he win in his final Super Sport race of the weekend at Mandela, but he was able to take home first place in the Superbike win as well, and that is something that's super, and we'll talk to him as well later on the show, and we'll have athletics as well for you, and we'll talk about Masters Football. Now, three men equally as fast on motorbikes, I'm told. John Kennedy, Liam Broston and Denny Long join us here in studio. Denny Long, of course, was the fastest of all with the motorbike, just pulls up beside the door and rambles away, and where the other country boys are here at the last hour. Liam, the match, I suppose, a professional if uninspiring win. That's probably the best way we could say talk about it.
Yeah, I suppose, Don, look, Kerry are where they want to be. At the start of the year, we were all looking at probably a semi-final, and without being over dramatic or anything like that, and with a lot of work that can be done over the next 2 weeks. You know, it wasn't a performance that we could spend 2.5 hours here talking about. And but I think, look, it was a workman performance. Get over the line, get to semi final, and I think we have a lot of work to do between here now and the semi final for Dublin, because we all know that performance won't do against Dublin. I think if Dublin get the chances, or any of the teams that are left that Mayo got yesterday, I think we'd be put to the sword. So lot of homework now for Jack and his management team.
Yeah, certainly a lot of vulnerability shown up yesterday, of course, during the game. John, I suppose, look, after the excitement of that Armagh Galway game, it really was a fantastic game for, I suppose, all the good reasons and all the bad reasons, and we might dip into some of them later on. Croke Park emptied out pretty quickly, and there was no huge atmosphere. It looked dead from the word go, and I think possibly the first time there was a bit of excitement was the time that David Clifford went over the ball and his ankle got hurt or whatever, and all of a sudden you could hear whispers in the crowd and everybody was chatting and the whole lot. That kind of just sums up the game, really, doesn't it?
It does, Donald, and I think, you know, the game going back an hour wasn't good for both Kerry or Mayo. You know, we said off the air there, like, you're ready, you have everything timed from the time you leave, from the time you get up in the morning, food and bus and so on and so forth, everything is down to the minute. And then it's back an hour. You question that. You know, a lot of debate last night in social media and that about should there have been a replay. You know, a fantastic exhibition of football and marred, I suppose, by what happened as they made their way to the dressing rooms. But from a Kerry point of view, you know, there's a lot of food for thought. You know, it was a professional performance. You could say that we won comfortably in the end. But, you know, a lot of question marks being asked, a lot of poor performances, not clinical. We can always use the excuse of we're waiting a month, but that's the same for all the provincial champions. If Mayo had their shooting boots on, or if we'd met a better team yesterday, we wouldn't be talking about a semi-final. Mm-hmm. Mayo were shocking, you know. Shocking, to say the least. You know, some what marquee forwards in Mayo kicking dreadful wides from scorable positions, and I felt there was 10 minutes after half time the game was there to be won. Mayo didn't win it, and we kicked on, and I suppose it was ironic, two of our elder statesmen, David Moran and Paul Ganey, led the way. You'd ask yourself a question. David Moran hasn't played football for 10 months. He gave an exhibition of midfield generalship yesterday. No man knows it better than Dinny here alongside us, but kicked two great points. dictated what was happening around the middle against, you know, Rouen and Aidan O'Shea or whoever else was out there. Fantastic performance by him. But like Liam said, food for thought, a lot of improvement to do, but look, we're in the semi-final.
Yeah, absolutely, of course, we'll drill down that. Dinny, very quickly, last time you were with us, you said looking at Kerry against Cork, there was no All-Ireland in this team. Have you changed your mind?
Not really, Donald. Yesterday's game was quite poor. You know, of course, the objective is to get to the next match, which is the semi-final. And most counties would love to be in the semi-final. But if you're looking for standards that Kerry produced over the years, that was well short of that. Kerry were quite disappointing. They played a team with no idea in the wide Utley world how to score. Mayo's Achilles heel for as long as I'm watching him, which is nearly 60 years. And if you gave, like John said, if you gave good forwards in the remaining three teams in the championship, the chances that they'd have put you to the sword. Like, Mayo absolutely dominated the game for long periods. They got into great scoring positions. There was backs and midfields. They were all coming each other's way. They have no plan whatsoever. No, it is very easy for me to sit in a studio and, you know, be critical of James Horne and his management. But, you know, it is not yesterday they made the mistakes. They'll make him for as long as I'm watching him. So unless Mayo go away and sort out a forward situation, get somebody in, whether he be a Mayo man or a Dublin man or a Kerry man or wherever, but somebody has to do something. But going back to Kerry, that performance wouldn't do at all to beat, I'd say, any of the three teams left, because it was slow and ponderous. No, maybe a month out, but I don't believe that at all, because David Moran comes along and he's out for 10 months. Now he's training over in wherever they're training, and he's played a few club games. He was as match fit as any man in the field. In fact, he was as match fit as any of the teams of the players that played over the weekend.
Did it surprise you, Dinny, that a guy can be out for 10 months, and I take your point as well made, obviously he's training up to probably the standard of playing games, but he played 74 minutes, he was very comfortable, he scored 2 points, he was able to find that space as well, he didn't put a foot wrong, he didn't put a hand pass wrong, he won ball midfield. Does that question where our other two midfielders are, because we a lot of comments coming in and they're saying that David Moore is now nailed down to take one of those two places. I mean, Jack Barry was missing for injury. Dermot Connor, he was probably maybe filling in that Jack Barry role yesterday where he wasn't as prominent on the ball and he was probably doing a lot. But does that say a lot that David Moore can come back after 10 months and walk straight in and look like the player that he is?
Well, yeah, but, you know, I suppose if he were playing a better team, they would probably have targeted him. But Mayo didn't bother doing that. When I say targeting, they might have run him
Absolutely,
you know, put somebody on him and deliver the ball to his opponent and make him more comfortable. David Moran was comfortable throughout the game, number one with experience and number two with his ability to play the game. And, you know, I thought it was David Moran's best game probably in the last 4 or 5 years.
Yeah.
So he just played the game fine and simple, kept it simple, and he returned 2 points, which, you know, is a great return from a fella playing around the middle of the field.
Yeah, absolutely. Good point there. Obviously, Liam, I suppose a lot of people are focusing on the stats, and we've sat here for, I suppose, weeks and weeks, and we say, look, stats don't tell stories. Well, I'll just give you one stat that does kind of tell the story, and it kind of puts it into easiness first. Kerry scored 19 of their 28 shots that they got away, which was 67% of a return. Mayo 13 out of 31, that was only 41% of their return. When Kerry lost to Cork in that infamous last minute goal, we've all forgotten about it now, didn't you? In that rain above there and in the big stadium that you brought us to that time, with 200 people watching you, Kerry only scored 38% that night. So they were down as bad as that and obviously lost. 67% shooting, it still isn't good enough really to get you into a semi-final or a final when you're going to meet Dublin, because I mean their target is 78, 79, nearly 80% of their shots away. So Kerry, even on the shooting front, while we were shooting better, we still need to get a lot better.
Exactly, yeah, like 67%, you hit the nail on the head there. I think when we're going back in finals and semi-finals, you're up around 78 and 80%, you know, to win games like that. But I think that comes down to the team we were playing yesterday, you know. like Mayo were so poor kicking wise, like 41%. The 13 scores or 31 shots.
Yeah.
Like that's like if that was an under 12 team, you'd be spending the following Tuesday night behind in front of the goals anyway.
Like
Denis said, it seems to be their Achilles heel with the last. Denis said 60 years. You know, so it is they just can't score. And I know James Horn has stepped aside, and you know we kind of had a tongue in cheek comment outside. I honestly don't think whoever goes in there will improve that, because that side are in Europe is not. You know, and I do think that West, you know, and I suppose we'll talk about our minors and stuff later on as well. And it's maybe something that we're holding back in at underage level at the moment. We're stopping fellas from playing football. And, you know, I think in Kerry, and I've seen underage teams with the last couple of years, you know, we have some of the most natural footballers, natural scorers they will get all over the country. And I think that's one thing that really stands for Kerry. And I think In most games, I think our percentages, bar that Cork game obviously, will be well up in the 60s and 70s for most games. Moved like David Clifford, Paul Gainey's, these guys, you know. So, but they're natural forwards. So, and that's what I like about with our National League this year and stuff like that. Our transition from defence up to forwards has been very good compared to the years in the past, because look, we have very good forwards, scoring forwards, and we need to get the ball into them. And that's the same against Dublin the next day. We need to get the ball early into our forwards. If not, we're going to be in trouble. And I think just getting back to our minors, I think that we struggled the last day with our minors and our under-20s, that we're very slow with our ball coming up the field. We're asking our natural forwards to do things that they're not natural at. And I think that's hurting us at underage. But at senior level at the moment, who is like David Clifford and these guys, you know, just get the ball into them and they'll do the business.
Yeah, John, I suppose you're sure we lost the game. You know, we are in a semi-final. We are facing Dublin in 2 weeks' time. There was a lot of good performances in that professional ethic yesterday. Who were the three or four that really stood up and said, listen, yeah, these guys kept 10 out of 10 performances for us, while maybe more of them kind of dipped back to average or maybe a little bit fairer on the day. But we did have three or four standout performances.
There's no doubt. I thought the two Sullivans in the defence, Tom and Graham, I thought they were outstanding. Graham had some great runs. And, you know, I think you can actually inhibit players by stopping him and playing to a certain pattern. Graham O'Sullivan took on the game yesterday. Kicked a point. Gavin White ran at the defence. Tom Sullivan was outstanding, unlucky not to get a goal. Kicked up with great points. Showed his stamina and his football. David, as we said, in the middle of the field. You know, Stephen O'Brien worked exceptionally hard. And, you know, David Clifford carrying an injury. He still did enough. He got the goal, showed the class he has. Paul Gainey rolled back the ears, kicked some great scores, and a great target man inside as well. It's. I think that, you know, we were all probably looking at how good Mayo were. We know the weaknesses they have. And when you look at the other games, you see Derry destroying Clare, Dublin beating Cork handily, you know, and then Kerry. We were expecting, the final scoreline says we won comfortably, but, you know, you'd have been expecting more from a Kerry performance. And, you know, I think it's too easy today listening to people saying, well, we were out a month and we hadn't this and we hadn't that. Look, it's the same for everybody. Of course, it's always great to have a little bit left as a management team. But I think the overall thing, Donald, from the weekend was the standard of the football. Mm-hmm. Three terrible games, really. The type of football that's been played, listening to it in the streets today, people are not happy. A lot of negative stuff, a lot of recycling the ball, and Derry were refreshing. No, Clare were poor, we have to say that. They're two Division 2 teams, but Derry took on the game, and, you know, they're how clinical they were in front of goals. They were ruthless. They weren't tapping the ball over the bar when there was a goal chance on. They went for it, and they killed off Clare, like, they demoralised Clare. And that's what we'd be expecting Kerry to do, to be fair. Of course we're in an Ireland semi-final, but disappointed with the overall performance.
Mm-hmm. Disappointing. Dinny, I suppose it was set up for Dublin versus Cork. Were you disappointed at the way Cork approached the game? We look at Clare. Clare kind of went out and said, we'll have a go at them. They scored 2-8 or 2-9, and they left themselves wide open the back, and they got crucified, I suppose. Cork were, I suppose, a little more tamer, you know. They kind of set out their stall. They could have had a couple of extra points in the first half, but Dublin were never more than second gear in that game, were they?
Well, not really, Donald. You know, I suppose the reason for that was that Cork had a very poor league, and, you know, they struggled, to be fair, to stay in Division 2. So that's where they were coming from. Now, they played Kerry, and they got beaten by 12 points, even though a lot of people, including myself, they stayed with Kerry for 50 minutes. Then they came along and they struggled to beat Louth. They struggled to beat Limerick. No disrespect to those two teams, but they were never in contention for the All-Ireland. So I think what Cork management did last Saturday was to say, look, let's try to keep the score as low as possible. They played everybody behind the ball. But I said here after the game a couple of weeks ago that your team knows that's what your goalie. And like Michael Martin, my God, the man, he just hasn't the ability to find a man with the kick out. He doesn't know whether to go short or go long. So Cork was struggling with that straight away. So if they were giving the ball to Dublin, you don't give the ball to good footballers, either to Dublin, Kerry or Derry or Galway, because they'll punish you. So to answer your question, Cork really went out to keep the score down. You give them credit for that, but you know that they're miles off a Division 1 team.
Absolutely. Well, look, we'll talk about that and more after the break. Listen, if you get your comments in, there's plenty of them flying into us here. 0667123666. Ivan's on the call there. Or you can text us as well or WhatsApp on 083 300 3300. But for now, we'll take a break.
Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry, brought to you in association with Meadowlands Hotel Tralee, where being local means coming home.
Well, fair play, welcome back here to Terrace Talk. Hello, lads, a great show as always. Defence is looking good. Kerry seemed well able to respond to Mayo without hitting all the high gears. Paul Ganey is on the form of his life. Good test yesterday on top of a slippery sod. Cracking game to come in 2 weeks' time. And that's all the best from Brendan in Boston. Brendan, fair play to you. Thanks very much for joining us tonight. Certainly appreciate all our listeners, and if you're all the way over in Boston, hopefully we'll keep you entertained. Hi, Donal. Kerry have a lot of improving to do before we worry about the Dolls, but hopefully that game should bring us on and help us a good bit out. That's Charles. And David Moran was my man in the match yesterday. He was everywhere, winning great ball, got two great points as well. David Moran putting in 74 minutes on the field for having been out for a year is a massive positive for Kerry. But there's a show up our other midfielders that an experienced 34-year-old with just a few minutes of football can control such a crucial area for Kerry. That's a comment coming in as well. I'm going to leave the carry on of the Armagh game, as some fellow puts it delightfully here, together for a while, and we'll discuss that towards the end of the show, because I think it could take over the whole show. There's so many comments. Delighted Paul Ganey and Tom Sullivan played so well, both amazing Dingle players who never let their county down, and yeah, as John said, this two of those boys certainly stood out. Having sat through the Armagh and Galway game, which proved to be classic, the fare served up by Mayo and Kerry was just as drab as the weather in Croke Park. Both sides never looked to push on, with Kerry picking them off when they wanted to. Most disappointing Mayo team performance in ages, and that's a Mayo fan living in Kerry, so obviously he's going to get plenty of chat today. All four teams into the All-Ireland semi-finals as provincial champions, so rather than just saying the provincial championships don't serve a purpose, let the winners go back into the old format of winners only into the semi-finals and just scrap the back door. It would be one way of making counties try to close the gap in their provinces and let everyone else that wanted to play in the Tailteann Cup. What about that point, John? The four standing are the four champions.
Yeah, it's it hasn't happened too often in the past. And, you know, they were the forum teams, to be fair, coming into it. I suppose the Armagh-Galway game, it was one that was the most difficult to call, in fairness. But Galway, I thought Armagh would put it up to them, but sure, Galway were really convincing. If they had lost the game, Padraig Joyce would be pulling his hair out today, because they played exceptional stuff. And Galway have a few exceptional forwards. We all know about Shane Welsh and Comer, but you know Rob Finnerty, fantastic, yeah. Kicked some great scores.
He really showed up, didn't
McDade
he?
McDade in the middle of the field, a fair dynamo, and you know, in when the game needed to be won, he stuck his goal very well, but he kicked a great point as well. Mm-hmm. But look, there. I suppose it shows that the forum through the provincials came through, and the winners came through, and on merit, all four teams deserve to win.
And this long wait that everybody gave out about has absolutely no effect whatsoever on the results. Here's one for you, Liam. Lads, the catering facilities in Croke Park must be the worst and the most overpriced in the world. I know most listeners want to focus on what happens on the pitch, but the queues for snacks and drinks were nothing but organised chaos. As for the prices, they were nothing but criminal. Liam, did you go for a burger yesterday?
Do I look like as if I need burgers now at all? No. Look, I suppose when you go to these things, you're only hoping that that a crowd might move a bit quicker or we might skip a queue and stuff like that. But I heard a lot of complaints about it. I had seen Twitter as well
when people are paying these prices now. I presume in the old days we went to see football and a match and the whole lot, but now people want to get an experience and it's been passed off as an experience. Everything must be top notch, surely.
It does, yeah, and I think that Dinny made a very good point there a while ago. The GAA at the moment as a product isn't really selling itself. You know, the games are poor. You know, wouldn't it be nice yesterday? Well, like, even you're on about the four provincial winners there. Like, what was the advantage of winning your provincial or your provincial this year? Would it be nice if Kerry could have their quarter final in Killarney, Galway have their quarter final in Galway? You know, that kind of have something to play for. But no, I think, look, overall there'll have to be a big review of it, because I think it's dying slowly on its legs, and I think those of us that are watching it and going to county league matches and going to inter-county matches and seeing, we can see it, like going to Cork, like who said a Cork Kerry game 10 years ago they would only have 11,000 at it, mm-hmm. you know, for a Munster championship game, you know, so they'll have to be a big review on it.
Mm-hmm. Well, certainly one thing that there's going to be a review and a review very shortly is of the Mayo job, because just before we went on air, news came through that James Horan has stood down. Joining us now, of course, is Conor Mortimer, two-time All-Ireland finalist, of course, with Mayo, and a man who certainly was able to find the posts in his day, a prolific forward, one we have taken down here, I suppose, Conor. Conor, I was going to start with a rake of questions about yesterday, but I presume in light of the breaking news on the departure of James Horan, maybe we might just start there. It's not a huge surprise, but I'd imagine it's still a little bit of a shock that it happened so suddenly.
Look, I think, you know, people would have probably thought about it yesterday, the way he was speaking in the aftermath of the game. You know, sounded obviously fairly deflated. And look, you know, he's done all he could with that team. I think it's one of those things. You know, he's taken the team as far as he can take them, and you know, he's put in a lot of effort over the years, obviously, without obviously going all the way. So I think it's time for, and I think even for the players, I think it's time for a fresh voice. You know, 8 years is a long time for any manager, and I think it's a new voice.
He said 2 4-year terms, and of course, when you add them together, it's a long time. Of course, he has 6 Connacht's, and he got that National League title that we gave you there for free there a couple of years ago down here in Kerry. just encourage you along. But I suppose the heartbreaking of those All-Ireland finals, that probably took a good bit of the stuffing out at that time, did it?
Look at it. I mean, of course. I mean, I think the frustrating thing the management team would probably look back on is, you know, obviously when you start out, you don't think you're going to get 4 or 5 cracks of the cherry at that level. You know, getting all the way, and you know, there was probably 1 or 2 left behind, and they're generally player decisions and management decisions that end up costing, I suppose, Mayo and 1 or 2 of them All-Irelands, and particularly Tyrone last year. You know, we probably played into their hands when, you know, everyone could see we probably should have had a different, you know, game plan going into that game, considering the teams that have played Tyrone in advance in that game. And they're probably games that have frustrate you, and you know, they look back and, you know, what might have been. But ultimately, you know, it's not an easy job. There's a lot of big personalities in that change room, and you know, in fairness, they did as best they could to manage them, and they did. They were relatively successful. Obviously, as you mentioned, 6 Connacht's in the National League, but ultimately, you know, and this is the reality of GAA, you know, no different to Kerry or anywhere else, but you're judged on the Celtic crosses, and unfortunately we came up short.
Yeah, absolutely. Lot of Mayo fans yesterday at the match uncharacteristically down. I won't say depressed is probably the wrong word, but normally when Kerry and Mayo fans sit together, Kerry fans have this kind of real genuine fear of Mayo, and going into the game at the weekend, everybody pointed to Kerry, but you know, the closer it got to us, Conor, you know, we were questioning ourselves, are we good enough? There's always a big kick in Mayo. This could be the game that took the Dubs out of it last year. How was that result taken a Monday morning waking up? I mean, it was an uncharacteristic Mayo performance in many ways. You know, they didn't seem to bring the fight that they normally have, and the battle. They kind of threw in the towel midway through the second half, or would that even be unkind to us?
Yeah, I wouldn't agree with that. They threw in the towel. I just think Kerry, you know, I think the chances that we missed probably deflated the team as we went, as we moved through the game, particularly in the first half. You know, I mean, waking up today, you know, I think the genuinely smart football people would probably have known our form going into the game wasn't good. We were hoping that we'd put in a performance we generally do in a quarter final or semi final. You know, the flame wasn't at full heat this season, and I think yesterday we obviously just came up against a better team in the end. I know people are saying Kerry were there for the taking, etc., etc., but ultimately the difference with, you know, I think we had 41% conversion rate yesterday. We weren't good enough in front of the posts where Kerry were. They took their chances, we didn't, and that's effectively the difference in the game. I mean, we found it very difficult to get scores where Kerry's, you know, obviously the better quality player will find it always find it easier to get a score, and that was ultimately what cost us the game yesterday.
Connor, it wasn't all doom and gloom, I suppose, for Mayo. I suppose you know where we're heading with this one. You have a fine minor football team coming along. The name Mortimer back on the team sheet, of course, that excites people that kind of know their football. What's it like to be a proud uncle?
Look, I went down to Tullamore on Saturday, you know, and it's great to see. You know, Rio's a good footballer, good cornerback. He's like his dad. You know, he's and probably a little bit more skillful, I'd say, but he's a good player. They have a good minor team. But, you know, at that level, it's difficult because you kind of never know what you're going to get on any particular day. You don't know what young people are thinking. And look, at the reality of it is, provided that, you know, whether they win All Ireland or not, there's probably four or five of them on that side that are good enough to go on and play senior, provided that they're coached well and nurtured along the way, as opposed to just going off and being thrown into a senior team. And, you know, if you're not good enough straight away, then you're kind of discarded, which has happened with younger players in Mayo over the last probably 5, 6, 7 years. So I'd hope that doesn't happen with this team, and they can get two or three of them through, and you know, Mayo will come back strong again then.
Absolutely, of course, Dublin and Kerry, of course, we'll be looking at that full back. You have John McMonagall, Clarny, there, Dr. Croke's club, and of course the two Hurley boys as well, their father David, he's from Clarny as well, Dara and Niall, of course, talented out. Finally, Connor, who's your €2 on to be the Bonnish Door of Mayo this time next year, or has that started
yet?
Oh, geez,
I don't know who's there'll be a few names in the hat for that. It's hard to know. I just think it's there's probably a little bit of rebuilding to do there, so you just want someone with the players will respect and the players will follow, and, you know, ideally someone who's been successful at a good level. Doesn't have to be on our Ireland winning level, but a good level who can, as you know, I only said earlier that there's good talent in the team, there's good talent in Mayo, and you know, there's ample opportunity. You know, you're going to be in a semi-final, quarter-final pretty much the majority of years, so you know, you've got a lot to look forward to if you take over that team. And you know, I'd like to see probably Max Day, McHale maybe get involved in it. You know, they're good football men and they'd be well respected in Mayo as well, and they would bring a bit of change to it. You know, we've had obviously James for 8 years, give or take, Rochford in the middle of it. So I think a fresh voice and someone that has played at the highest level, that knows, you know, I think it was evident yesterday our forward play wasn't what it could have been, so we probably would like to see someone forward orientated that can improve that area and, you know, hopefully propel us on a bit further.
Absolutely, Connor. Well, look, Connor, it's also a great to chat to you. I suppose you're certainly not shy about being very honest about your foresight and things anyway, and that's fantastic. So this time next year, hopefully we'll be interviewing you as the Mayo manager when you come down here to Tralee, maybe. and you'll have some of those minors with you as well. Connor Mortimer, thank you very much for joining us tonight in Terrace Talk.
Thanks.
There we go, Connor Mortimer, fantastic player, of course, in his day. Dinny, a new manager coming in, is that something, you know, he was 8 years now, there was a gap in between his 8 years. Is that something, if you're a player inside the dressing room, that you're looking forward to, or are you kind of worried that the new manager has a new broom?
I don't know, Donald. I suppose, you know, the big thing for Mayo is that the forward division has to be sorted. Now, if you take young Finnerty playing with Galway, he's dyed in the wool Mayo. So, like, he's living in Galway now, obviously, since he was a child. I don't know how long he's there. And he's an exceptionally good forward, and he's an exceptionally good kicker. So because you're bred in Mayo doesn't mean you're a bad forward, because if you can move over to county bounds and become a very good forward, maybe that's where Mayo should start. Look at what he has been doing, or whoever is coaching him since he was a young child, to make him a forward. So whoever comes in for Mayo, if he keeps on the same line that they've been going for since 1951, they'll be still without an All-Ireland when we're all dead for 100 years. So the forward division in Mayo must change. Whoever does it, that's where they have to start. They have plenty backs and they have plenty midfielders, but they have no forwards. Now, the two O'Connors, I know their parents, and I know stayed in that house a few times, and they're two nice lads. But Killian, at this stage, he hasn't recovered anything like the player he was. I know they were shot. They're probably their two best forwards, and that's a plus for the new manager coming in. Maybe James Horn was a bit unlucky this year that he didn't have the two of them, but the forwards are Mayo's problem.
Okay, well, certainly there's no forward problem in the Kerry ladies. They talked up a very big win there. Dini, of course, you probably knew this was going to happen, of course. And joining us now, of course, is Dan Carney to discuss that win over the weekend. Dan, I suppose it'd be fair that was expected to win, but the manner of the result was really pleasing for Kerry, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. Donal, I suppose, you know, Kerry went out. I suppose they made six changes from the team that beat Galway the first day, and including two All-Stars that were out, Lorraine Scanlon and Cott Lynch, and they still went out and scored 217 and you know, blew them away, really. Mm-hmm. You know, very, very impressive altogether, Donal. And I suppose the first 13 minutes, Kerry won 5-0, score open. I suppose Meade were only playing catch up after that, and Kerry had too much, like, and you know, like, there was new girls in there, like Katie Boston and you know, Kieran McCarthy and Claude O'Connor, and played really well. And you know, you had Shea Froshea back there as well, you know, and did really well, and same with Rachel Dwyer. So, like, now, to be fair about it, I suppose Westmeath weren't great. Like, and they looked like a team, you know, their confidence was down to their ankles. But really, for me, what was most pleasing about Kerry's performance was the, you know, the clinical way that they put them away. Because in the past, like, Kerry teams have struggled against teams that were expected to be inferior to them. And but on Saturday they kind of swatted Westmeath away, and you know, really they laid down a marker in the process, Donal.
It's kind of a mark on the stick of where Kerry are now compared to a couple of years ago. Westmeath came down a couple of years ago, and Kerry and themselves had a right scrap of a relegation playoff, and Kerry got over the line by a couple of points and were well delighted to do it. We've really moved away from that relegation zone now. We topped the group, we move into a quarter final. Things have progressed an awful lot in the last couple of years.
Hugely, Donal. Like, I mean, if you think back to that, that was back in 2018 inside in Stranraer. I remember it well. It was a dirty day, and Kerry only scored 1-6 the same day. Now, the remarkable thing about that, if you look back in that team to the team that was playing yesterday, or even against Galway, there wasn't one player in the starting 15 that lined up with Kerry on Saturday, and you know, just two that started that day, Ashley O'Connell and Lauren Scanlon, they're the only two that are still involved with the squad at all. So, I mean, that's some statistic when you think about it in 4 years. It's some turnaround, like. Mm-hmm. So, I suppose it's a completely new team, more or less. So, that's, I mean, for me, that's a sign of progression with this Kerry team. Now, I suppose some people will say that, you know, a 14-point win will leave them a small bit undercooked coming into the, you know, the big game now, the big quarter final against Armagh, and maybe it does. But, like, I think the Kerry management, this Kerry management now, they're coming on 4 years being involved, like, and I think they'll be well able to have this team prepared for a big battle. And you know, the one thing that Kerry have now, and they haven't had before, I think, they haven't had for a few years, it's strength and depth. And you know, there's huge competition for players now, which I think is hugely positive for them, Donal.
Mm-hmm. It's gas. I was having, I suppose, a banter with some of my Armagh friends from the ladies' Gaelic world, and I won't say they created a result the last day, but in the manner that they successfully managed to win by the exact amount of points against Monaghan, that was able to put Mead and Dublin on the other side of the draw and put themselves and Kerry on the same side with Cork and who's Mayo on the other side. So I won't say it was orchestrated, but I mean, for a team to go out and only score, is it 3 points in the second half, having scored 111 in the first half against a team that didn't score at all in the first half,
yeah.
It certainly says that Armagh want Kerry, and they certainly came after us.
They did, of course. Like, I mean, in fairness, it was well manoeuvred, is the best thing we could say about it, really. And I suppose, like, Armagh will go into that game against Kerry with a certain degree of confidence. Like, they'll think back to the National League final, and I suppose they had Kerry under all sorts of pressure for a good bit of it. And, you know, really, I suppose Danielle O'Leary came on that day and she hit 1-2 and she kind of changed the whole game in Kerry's way. Like, but, you know, Kerry were the four down at one stage before Danielle came on and got the goal. Like, so I suppose, like, I'll be thinking, you know, we left a chance behind that day to gain some silverware. You know, we think we're better than Kerry. Like, if you think back on it, Amy Mackin, who'd be their marquee forward per se, like, I mean, she was well held that day. Okay, she got 3 points from play, but for a player of her quality and the amount of ball that they tried to feed her, like, Kerry really, really held her. So, like, I mean, she's going to be looking for a big performance again. Kerry will have to hold her. But really, yeah, you would have to say that Armagh, they won't fear Kerry whatsoever. But on the other side of it then, Kerry won't fear Armagh either. I mean, they have one of them. They know how to beat them. So I think it's going to be an absolute cracker of a match, Donald.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, look, Dan, thanks very much for joining us tonight on short notice to keep us up to date with the ladies. It's great that they're back in a quarterfinal. I mean, a big win, certainly the biggest win in the championship in a long time, and certainly we'll all look forward to that quarterfinal. And of course, Dan will join us again. Hopefully, to talk about the semi-final, Dan, and one step forward. That's Dan Kearney, possibly. Well, there's no possibility about it. I think he's certainly the kingdom's foremost expert in ladies football. Certainly the most genuine one anyway when it comes to that. Dan, thanks very much for joining us tonight, and we take a break.
Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry, brought to you in association with Meadowlands Hotel Tralee, where being local means coming home.
No, it was a busy weekend for my next guest, Conor McKenna. Of course, he nearly lived in Croke Park. He watched all four quarterfinals for us there as well, and of course for himself as well, of course. He's tipped Derry, they're still there, but Conor, I probably would have tipped Derry to beat Clare myself, but was it much easier than you expected?
I don't know what it's done, and I thought Derry were a good bit better than Clare, to be honest with you. I thought they would win quite comfortably. I could have seen them winning by 8, 9, 10, 11 points easily. 14 might have been slightly excessive, but no, I think that I expected Derry to win with a good bit to spare, and I would have been surprised if Clare had stayed in the game for long, to be honest with you.
Yeah, no, I'm going to ask Dinny Long to put the headphones on, being the only Cork man here, because he certainly is mad to listen to you on this one. it looked fairly predictable from a long way out. Cork, you know, they seemed to kind of set themselves up so they wouldn't get a hiding, and Dublin kind of just went through the motions. Do you think Cork will regret that game plan now, you know, the minute it was over, and maybe they should have had a go at Dublin?
Yeah, well, it's hard to know about Cork, because I suppose, to be fair to Cork, they probably created a bit more goal chances than Dublin did. Like, Dublin didn't create a clear goal chance, but I suppose you always probably felt that Dublin were capable of pushing on and winning the game by as many points as they wanted, really. But I think Cork, to be fair, had they got a few goal chances, it could have been a slightly closer. But no, I think, to be honest with you, Don, I think if Cork had opened up a small bit, they could have got absolutely annihilated. I think Dublin could have ran in for a few goals. So, but I thought Dublin were very, very, very ordinary, to be honest with you. I suppose, but looking from a Kerry perspective, it certainly wouldn't put any fear into Kerry. Now, I suppose the unknowns for Dublin are around Conor Callaghan and James McCarthy, with both those lads currently injured. Well, whether they were serious injuries, arrested or knocks or whatever, we don't know, but it'll be very interesting to see how they play. But one thing I think nobody will dispute, I think if both of those lads don't play, I'd say Kerry would certainly really, really fancy a chance of reaching the final, you know.
Mm-hmm. Now, of course, our man Galway easily to pick of the games over the weekend. Were you surprised that Galway were able to live with our man and ultimately outlive him?
Yeah, well, I saw him out in Ballybuffet in the first game against Donegal Ulster. They were very, very poor, you know, and I suppose that day at Armagh, they completely bounced back, beating Tyrone and beating Donegal. But I kind of thought at the time that Armagh, while they were very good and played very good football in those two qualifier games, I wondered, there was a real savage hype in Armagh. Like, the crowd was unbelievable. It was probably the biggest hype in Armagh, I'd say, since 2005, when Tyrone beat them by a point that year in semi-final. I think Armagh, really, the football county gets behind them. But I suppose Galway were kind of sitting in the long grass waiting. The hype doesn't really affect Galway as much. It's much more in-house. I don't know, there's just something about Galway, they can always, it doesn't seem to get caught up in hype at all, you know. And I think Galway had beaten two good teams in Galway and Mayo. They beat Mayo away by a point and beat Roscommon comfortably, despite only a 3-point winning margin. So I kind of thought it was set up yesterday for a bit of a Galway ambush, and so it proved. And whilst Galway were probably fortunate with the way it ended with the penalties, I think as a whole, though, Galway were a better team and deserved to win.
Mm-hmm. Now, of course, that game, of course, is in the news for all the wrong reasons, and of course, due to the scenes at full time. Conor, is it time that GAA kind of really get tough on these actions? Are we most likely to see kind of another kind of maybe huff and puff and magically disappears out of the way, or an investigation onto another investigation? Or do you know the way that these things kind of manifest themselves into everything and disappear? This surely is too big for it to disappear.
But I think the main thing would have been the eye gouging incident, and I suppose that was probably the one that really needs to be highlighted, has been highlighted. Look, that's probably one where a big suspension is needed. I think it's an embarrassment to the association, and it was not a nice act to see at all by any stretch of the imagination on the pitch. Like, but I suppose Armagh, like, I think the player in question will obviously have serious regrets. You know, he knows he made a mistake. It's been highlighted on national TV and all over the airways. Look, he's going to be severely punished for that. I think that goes without saying. I think the melee itself was not probably, I suppose, it wasn't an absolute, like, there was no, bar the eye gouging, there was no real punches that I could see anyway thrown, to be honest with you. So I think just going back, I think Sean Kelly, the Galway captain, should definitely have a red card rescinded. I don't think anyone could make out what he did that would have justified a red card, you know. And I suppose it was probably the team shouldn't have gone down the same tunnel. I think one thing led to another, and then the only thing really that was unsavoury in my eyes anyway was the eye gouging, and that's something that needs to be severely clamped down on, you know.
Mm-hmm. Some of the comments in there now to be dealt with by Terrace Talk panel. Thanks for the headline, listener. In relation to the fracas, he calls it, that ensued after full time in the Galway Armagh game, the referee dealt with it by issuing two red cards for the charge of contributing to a melee. Now, to my knowledge, this very charge was deemed inadmissible following a game in Ulster on that occasion. Such a charge was deemed too loose or non-specific, and I'd like to know how this charge was deemed admissible in relation to what happened yesterday. And that's a current listener, and they certainly know how to stand up for themselves outside that part of the world, Liam, when they need to. The point, I suppose, being made there, I suppose, Connor, is that there really isn't kind of a specific fraction for all these new things that are happening, but to be dealt with it on the field, is there far too many people, and I use the word hanging around, inverted commas, on sidelines that really have no involvement in teams, and they first of all should not be on the field?
Well, that's been an issue going back a long, long time. People there who's not involved in teams and who probably are often causing trouble on the sideline, to use, without using a better word, like. But I think that I don't know what the contributing factor was. I suppose at the end of the game, the tensions were heated, you know, and I just think the players probably went off the same way, and there was a push thrown, and then it led to this and that, and then a bit of a melee. But it seemed to really, really escalate after the eye gouge. I think, to be fair, before that, it was probably a minor enough scuffle, what we probably saw in the Munster hurling final, something similar. But I think after that incident happened, it became far, far worse, and became a very, very, I suppose, dangerous is the word, situation. And then, obviously, now, I don't know how the referee could have picked out those two players. Now, to be fair to David Coulter, we don't know what was said to any officials or anything like that. That's the only thing that but contribute to Malie. I don't understand that rule, because if you look at that, don't, like, you could have at least 15-20 players red card of pressure time if that was the case, if every player that contributed was sent off, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, look, Conor, up against the clock, thanks for joining us. It's great to get a fresh set of eyes on things, I suppose, from a neutral perspective, and we'll certainly chat after the All-Ireland semi-finals. Thank you very much, Conor.
Thanks for having me on.
Not at all, no problem. Now, afraid to go, let's see, get some of them. No, here we go, some real comments. Afraid to go that all Kerry players not travel on the team bus. 26 on the panel, and the other two or three were told they wouldn't be needed. This is a joke, and someday they will be needed. So there's some guy opening a can of worms that we'll have to have a look into. Dawn on the melee yesterday, great credit to Kieran Donnelly and Padraig Joyce for trying to defuse the situation and put themselves in danger of injury. But where were the stewards that were to intervene? That's Michael, of course, below in Skibbereen, regular enough listener. Do you know what, Michael, if I was a steward, I certainly wouldn't have been diving in there to pull fellas across. Fine, big, fit, strapping men. Hi, Donal. Kerry were a long ways off winning the All-Ireland. We still have problems at least 3 or 4 years. We're holding the ball too long and losing possession. That performance won't beat any of the three teams left. Dublin are waiting in the long grass for Kerry, and Kerry can see it coming, lads. History repeating itself. Paul Gainey had a fantastic game yesterday. Absolutely, and so say all of us. And I saw Kerry listener to end with, I think the lads have been overly critical. It was always going to be a tough game, and especially in horrendous conditions. If it was a summer's day in Croke Park in 2 weeks' time against Dublin, we would beat them easily, as Dublin were poor defensively against an average Cork team. There you go. You've gone from poor to average, didn't you? So things are looking better for you. More positivity, please. So, Kerry listener, we're all very positive down that part of the world, Liam. Finally, guys, we'll be wrapping it up. Dinny, what do Kerry need to do to get themselves into a situation where they can beat Dublin and move on to an All-Ireland final?
I think the big thing, Donald, and I think that Les mentioned it there as well, they have to move the ball quicker. You know, Kerry are claiming to have very, very good forwards. But, you know, you see Darren Mine and you see them, you know, 70, 80 yards out from the goal. Then, you know, if you're 80 yards out from the goal, there's no fella going to put it over the bar into the net from there. So I think Kerry will have to hold at least three or four forwards inside and get the ball in, you know, have the ball delivered quickly. Mm-hmm. All them Kerry fellas, particularly your six backs and your two midfielders, they're all good kickers of the ball. So whether it's a game plan by Tally and, you know, these guys, I don't know, but I would much prefer to see Kerry move the ball quicker and probably be a little bit more aggressive up in the forward line, because the teams that are left will certainly test Kerry to the limit. And, you know, when the test comes, can Kerry deliver at the high level? That's the big question.
Mm-hmm. John, Dublin will be a different animal altogether the next day. They'll have their homework done. They'll target players. Johnny Cooper had a fine game running up and down the field, being Johnny Cooper. They've brought back their hurling Owen McDermott as well to watch. Is he kind of going to be the spare shadow that's going to follow David Clifford around Croke Park, maybe?
Quite possible, and probably Conor Callaghan looking, James McCarthy, will they be fit to play is the big question. But I think looking at the Kerry lads, Donal, you know, Paddy Clifford has been hugely influential for us throughout the campaign so far and in the league. Nullified yesterday, you know, we need Paddy on the ball. He's the guy that makes it tick up front, I think. He gives great diagonal quality ball in, and we'll need top our performance all over the field. We mentioned already some of the and Tadhg Morley had a very solid game centre back as well. But all over the field, we need to up our performance, and I think we will. You know, this is something we needed yesterday. We got through. Dublin will be a different game. It'll be a different type of game. But I think that we have the footballers to beat Dublin. Not on yesterday's performance, but I've no doubt that you know, it's a stick that Jack has to beat the lads for the next 2 weeks, and we'll see a different Kerry team in the semi final. And I think it'll be you know, it could go to the wire, but Dublin certainly aren't the first they were. And you know, there's the Carrigan All Ireland final appearance there, and you know, it's going to be an interesting 2 weeks in Kerry training, I'd say.
Yeah, absolutely. Liam Brosnan, we've no time to talk to you, but I will make one promise to you. I'll try and get you into a Kerry team that will try and win an All Ireland, because come up after 7 o'clock, we're going to talk to the Kerry Masters footballers. And there's a couple. I think there's a couple of Corra boys in there. Maybe not. But we'll certainly try and get you in after. So after 7 o'clock, Stephen will talk Kerry Masters. We're going to talk athletics, and we're going to talk motorsport. Thank you for joining us.
Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry, brought to you in association with Meadowlands Hotel Tralee, where being local means coming home.
Now, of course, there was senior hurling championship action at the weekend as well. Three games played in horrendous weather conditions as well. Kilmiley and Abidorny drew 15 points all in what some people said was a drab game, but it was pretty exciting all the way to the end, and probably a very vital point for Abidorny there. Causeway, of course, beat St Brendan's in the kind of the group of death, with Ballyduff on the other side of the draw. Causeway 2-12, St Brendan's 12 points. And in the other game, it was Crossa, probably going with form, beating Ballyhaig 2-16 to 1-10, and we'll certainly talk to Richard Ardor for on about that Ballyhaig performance in the next couple of weeks as well. One Kerry team still very much in contention for All-Ireland glory is our newly formed Kerry Masters football side, who to date have won three of their four games and remain unbeaten. Now, Gaelic Masters Association, they promote the competitive inter-county Gaelic games for senior players, and if people want to know what the senior player is these days, it's over 40, so born in 1982 or more, and delighted now to be joined by one of those on the line, and one of them in the studio, Dennis Kennelly, of course, and Sean O'Sullivan will join us on the phone as well. Dennis, when people talk about the likes of Conor Gormley and Ryan McMinimum and Kieran Gourley and Stephen O'Neill, you know, it sets a tone of the calibre of players. These were just four of those that won the All-Ireland last year with Tyrone. Kerry, in that background, people will say, my God, we have loads of great players, but it's not necessarily for senior inter-county past players, it's for anybody over 40 who's still very active and very competitive.
That's just it. Like, you know, you have guys that have played the game at the highest level. They all kind of have their own plans after that. Like, some people stay playing ball and others kind of walk away, but like the guys that do stay playing, the competitive edge is still there. They still want to be competitive on the field. And some people don't get that with their clubs, because when you're trying to compete with young lads, it is heartbreaking trying to stay up with them. Like the legs are there, and the legs aren't as good as they used to be. But like to still be able to come out and play with your own age group and wear that county jersey is something that's it's not always there throughout your career, and to still be playing with your club at the age of 40 and to have that in the background, it's something for, I suppose, that I found unimaginable for a long time, and then to say like this was something that was maybe just could be there and we could set it up and we could get it running. And obviously with the caliber of players in Kerry that you have that are still playing with the clubs even at the highest level, we kind of had to do something. Like I felt we had to do something anyway, because like the likes of the smaller clubs, especially where like you have Sean O'Sullivan, Dunica Walsh, all these lads. I know Dunica's not the age yet, but he's not far off it. But like, you know, you have these lads and they're carrying their clubs, like, and they're still able to play football. But the idea is that, you know, you have those high quality players, and they really are the main names, but like the backbone of the team is the club player. The club player that are, you know, playing week in, week out.
Absolutely.
And
you'll spot those club players in the county league week in, week out. I mean, they're the guys that live for the county league. And this guy, you mentioned Dunica, because he scored a goal for Cremon. I mean, Sean obviously with Cremon, Peter Crowley, of course, he's a good bit off the age yet, but again, scoring a point as well for Lone Rangers as well. I mean, these are the guys that tug out. Why was it so long? Because I mean, it's only set up. I mean, it's 20 years plus that this has been going on. Other countries have kind of, I suppose, embraced the social aspect and the competitive aspect of it as well. How did the genesis of this come about?
Well, it was something I suppose I spotted in social media about 2 or 3 years ago. Obviously, coming towards the age, these things kind of, you know, come into your I suppose radar a bit more. I love the idea of maybe continuing playing. Like I hated the idea of actually having to walk away from football and to find something else to play, like, you know, because I toyed with the idea of golf, but like I can't hit a shot straight. So but like this came into my radar. I kind of asked a few questions on social media through the Masters group themselves. They had said they had inquiries from Kerry, but nothing concrete. Then COVID hit, and that kind of put a damper on it for probably a year. And they had given me a name. They said there was one another inquiry that Sean O'Sullivan had made from Cremon. So this year I kind of said, right, I'll give Sean a ring. And I said, look, I didn't want to go on a solo run, take this on my own, and end up just falling apart, like I said. But like Sean O'Sullivan had obviously Kerry experience, has a name within the county, has the, what you call it, the background to maybe bring a few lads with him. So I kind of said, look, Sean, if you're willing to go with me on this, I'd be willing to do the groundwork in the background. And he said that he had the under-20s, obviously, this year, he said, but he'd help out where he could. So we made inquiries, we started the ball rolling, we started putting a few messages out to lads I knew around North Kerry that were still playing. And before we knew it, we had a squad of about 15, 20, and it was continuously growing from that point of view. There was interest from other lads, but they were, again, still playing county football or club football. Likes of what you call it, Ron on Huzzy and a few more, like, but they, I suppose, it just wasn't able to fit into their
just at
time
the time, shows. Of course, yeah. But yeah, of course, yeah. The only good thing about Masters is it's not any younger you're getting anyway, so you can still play it. That leads on nicely, of course, to Sean, who's on the line. Sean, I suppose you are busy, and they always say, you know, give a job to a busy person and he'll do it. Just on what Dennis says, the idea of walking away, it sounds very lonely. Was that hard for you when you kind of walked away from that senior inter-county scene? It's hard to fill that void. Do you get a little bit of that back playing with the Masters?
Hi, good evening, Donal. Hi, Dennis. It was Donal. I suppose you never really think about, you know, when you decide to retire from inter-county football, you straight away think of the club, and I'll go back with the club, and of course you do. And but I suppose, you know, as good as playing with the guys you've grown up with all your life is, I suppose you do miss, and you can't replace the buzz of being inside an inter-county setup and playing on the biggest days. Like, you know, I was even in Croke Park yesterday again now, and hadn't been there obviously since last year's Tyrone game. And you know, you get that buzz again just watching the teams running out onto the field in front of a big crowd. So you do miss it. And to be honest with you, as Dennis alluded to there, I had seen the Masters and I'd seen the over 40 competition, and I thought, geez, you know, that's a great idea. It's a pity Kerry don't have anything like that, because, you know, even from a point of view, and I remember speaking to Declan O'Sullivan about this during our time with the Twinties. You lose touch with fellas, Donald. You know, life is busy, and everybody has their own lives and kids and work and the whole lot. And you do lose touch with fellas. And I just thought it would be a good opportunity to maybe round up a few of the old heads and get them involved, which we have. You know, Aidan O'Mahony is with us. Unfortunately, Seamus Scanlon was going to come with us as well, but he got a few injuries and it ran a bit late for the registration for him. Mike Frank Russell showed a bit of interest, but as Dennis already alluded to, club football came in the way there for him. So there is the interest out there, but it you know, we didn't want to restrict it to that. We wanted to spread the word around the whole of the county and get as many guys involved as possible. And then, as Dennis said, COVID hit. So we kind of, I put it on the back burner then, and I kind of forgot about it, to be honest, because I got involved with coaching in the 20s and stuff. So when Dennis rang me to see could we resurrect the interest in it, I was delighted to get on board with it. I haven't been able to play every game because, again, as Dennis alluded to, I'm still playing with Cremorne. And we're fighting our own battles in Division 4 back here. So I had to put the shoulder to the wheel with them. But any chance I've had to play with the Masters, I have. And I have to say, Donald, it's been brilliant. It's been...
Yeah.
I didn't know how I'd feel pulling on the jersey again. But I'll tell you, it's fantastic. And I'll tell you what makes it. It's just, and Dennis will tell you, we've a great bunch of lads. We really have. We would have all known each other on paper, I suppose, and possibly hopped off each other in county league and club championship, but from the minute we got together, it's been just brilliant, and fellas have rode in, and every fella's got a lot of game time, and we're able to roll on and roll off our subs. And I have to say now, it's really taken off. And look, when you're winning, it helps, but even if we weren't, you know, we'd still be having a good time. And it's, you know, I have to say, and I mean this, I've only been tipping along and helping out what I can. The man in the studio there with you has put in the bulk of the work behind the scenes, and he deserves a lot of credit, it has to be said.
Don't be putting any pressure on the manager now, you know, he might go up to Mayo or something. Dennis, you finally organised everything. The first game over in Listowel, I mean, lovely sunny evening. Desperate hard to get parking, of course. My God, you had to park about, 4 miles down the road and walk up. I thought it was a massive crowd. But when you go in, it's lovely to see the family members, you know, the young kids. In this instance, I suppose, in a lot of instances, you know, you don't expect the kids to be shouting for their fathers, particularly when you go to under 10 games. It's kind of role reversal. But it's a lovely aspect to the game, isn't it?
Oh, definitely. Like, one of the main drivers for me to stay playing was to see my young fellow watch me play football and hopefully inspire him not just to play football, but to play sport and to be involved in as a team environment like that growing up. Like, but the whole aspect of the family, it's very much family orientated. Like, most of the guys on this team have their kids. Like, and if you look at any of the social media we have at the moment, all the lads taking their photographs with their kids and their Kerry jersey on, and just being proud as punch to be out there and representing their family and their county is just a great joy to be able to watch that and just to see the lads loving what they're getting out of it. And like, that's what it is. Like, it is over 40s and lads are enjoying it, and they're putting in the effort. Like, we started even training sessions. Like, when I started this originally, I said, look, if I got 25 lads to get every game, I'd be delighted that we had subs and that kind of way, because especially with the roll on and roll off. But like, we're getting 25 to training, don't mind to games. Like, the lads are really, really bought into it. They're really kind of bought into what this whole thing is about, a family friendly team environment.
It's what the GAA possibly should be. It's family, it's stripped back, it's traditional, it's kind of bare bones. There's no, I suppose, commercial trappings to the whole lot of it. I mean, even you can walk in the gate without having to pay. You know, it's very accessible, and it's slowly kind of eking out the clubs. You often see now the clubs in Guinea Guilla, for example. You know, they put up on their thing, best of luck to A, B and C. Do you know, Keel are the same behind, and do you know, it's lovely to see it, and I suppose it's the first year of it. You touched on something there, 3 out of 4 wins already. Do you know, you're fairly competitive all the same.
Well, we are, like, I don't think you come from Kerry without having that bit of competitive edge in you. In fairness, like, we have a decent backbone to the team, and we have lads that can come in and come out and give lads a break. And as I say, having that panel of 25 lads plus, like, I think we have a set of jerseys of 30, and I think we've used them every night, like, so we have 30 or 30 plus, and like the lads are just mad to get out in the field, like, and you know, they give them 10 minutes 15 minutes to roll on, roll off, and you know, we're fairly competitive because of that and because of our numbers, like. So from the point of view of having 3 wins, yeah, look, we are competitive. We lads are know their job on the field. Some lads are good at midfield and some lads are runners, and we know where to put them, and we know the guys that are out there to finish off, and Sean did the job for us there against Waterford to get to the draw, the one draw we had, in fairness. But outside of that, every game we've been playing, we've been progressing. And talking to Sean, I missed the last game now because I was away on holidays, but talking to Sean, he said the movement was very good up forward, so we're starting to rack up a bit of a score as well. Like, we think we put away 117, so it's good to hear.
Now you're going into stats. Stay with me because we'll take a quick commercial break. Sean, we'll be back to you in just 2 minutes. We have to have the commercial side here as well, even though here I was talking about stripping it back to the bare bones and the tradition. But we'll take that quick commercial break.
Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry, brought to you in association with Meadowlands Hotel Tralee, where being local means coming home.
Just talk to me about how easy it is to get back in, because a lot of people will be listening this evening and said, my God, this is a huge big jump, inter-county, and then they'll say, look, we have to play Clare and we have to play Cork or buddies. And of course Gary Hurney, of course, was flying around from Waterford over in Barraduff. You had to come off the bench yourself and score a point. A lot of the teams that you're playing, you're meeting top quality players, maybe not of this year, but certainly of yesteryear.
You are, yeah, and that's the other side of it. Like we mentioned how you know the Masters football brings together, you know, fellas who, as I said, would have played against each other at club level within their own county. But what it also does, Donal, is it obviously brings you up against fellas that, for me anyway, you would have came across playing at inter-county level. And even for fellas who wouldn't have played against them, it's an opportunity to socialise with these fellas and say hello to them. And after the game, there's, you know, win, lose or draw at the end of the day. Both teams come together for a chat and a pint, maybe if we're left.
And manager knows you
exactly. There's been no drink ban yet, thank God. So we're okay there. But no, and you hang around after and you chat and you get to meet their families and they get to meet yours, and it's just brilliant, really. And look, it was a great idea. Look, the Masters tagline is we get old because we stop playing. Dennis probably has it off the top of the head, but it's a very good tagline. But it really sums up the kind of the atmosphere around the Masters. And I have to say as well, on another note, and when myself and Dennis got going on this, the county board, Donald, were fantastic. You know, we have to give kudos to Patrick Tatler O'Sullivan and Peter Twist and the county board, because the minute we put it to the lads about potentially getting this thing off the ground, the county board and Kerry Group rode right in behind us. They got us a set of jerseys, and hopefully will look after us for a little bit more the further we progress in the tournament. And when you have the Kerry County Board and someone like Kerry Group behind you, Donald, you're on a winner straight away. So it would be remiss of us not to thank the board, yeah, especially absolutely. Patrick O'Sullivan for that, you know.
There's a lot going. Dennis Fyle, to wrap it up, I suppose. Where are we? We're 4 games in, 3-1. You've 2 kind of tough games coming along, do you?
Yes, Galway were, I suppose, one of these original teams that have a good experience in the competition. They're well set up, so we're looking to play them. Obviously, in 2 weeks' time, we're down on the 9th, and Galway have the semi final on the Saturday, and Kerry have the semi final on the Sunday. So there's a bit of a clash that weekend. So we're trying to organise that weekend ourselves at the moment, and then the final game is against Kildare. So after that, those two games, there's a league basis then, and from that then we will end up in a position, if we're in top four, you're in the top competition of the group. If you're in the next four, then it's the lesser and lesser competition you play for. So 1+4, 2+3, and etc. all the way down. So we're in the position at the moment of being in the top four. A result against Galway or Kildare should keep us in the top four, and then we'll be meeting the likes of hopefully the strongest teams in the group, which will be Tyrone and Dublin. They're well established teams now at this stage. They have a very, I suppose, what would I say, good player base, mm-hmm. and they have a structure in place to facilitate that as well. Now we're only up and running. We still need a lot of assistance. Like we're still training. We just have a couple of lads helping us out in training sessions and stuff like that. We're still looking to get a bit of gear together and stuff like that. And when I say gear, I'm not talking about tops, I'm talking more like footballs. At this stage, we're still relying on a few footballs from the clubs and stuff. And when it comes back, we're missing a few balls now and again, so we have a few IOUs, the clubs, but we won't
at the rate Sean Sullivan kicks, I might say that there's a lot of ditches with balls in them.
Sean is not the worst of them now, in fairness. It's a couple of cornerbacks we have to worry about.
The cornerbacks don't travel that far up the field. Listen, look, it's fantastic. I've watched a couple of games. I've really enjoyed them. I suppose you're not old enough to have blankets or run around the field and block fellas up. So it is beautiful football. I mean, Jeannie Farrell is still playing. William Kirby is still there. I mean, they're only just two that bounce off my head. Absolutely, yeah. You have a lethal foot of forward line. Yeah. You have two great goalkeepers, you know, one in and one out at the time, yeah. Niall and Tony Lyons. I mean, yeah. So you know, it's well spread across, and look, it's something that we look forward to covering. I suppose over the next couple of weeks, until you get to the things, and maybe in the years to come. Dennis, thanks very much for joining us tonight, and Sean, continue the very best success as well, and try and keep Cremon hanging up there out of the way, because Fáil Mór coming out of Division 5, and that's certainly the last crowd you'll want to be meeting there, Sean. We owe you for a few things in the 20 years ago, but we're coming back up again. So we'll now something totally different, of course, talking about success, of course, over the weekend. Tralee Parnells, talking about things only barely formed, of course. Their club is only formed probably a decade, and they went off and they won Fáil, and delighted on the line now to have Mark Ryle. Mark, an All-Ireland title already, there'll be no stopping you.
Well, great weekend, yeah. So huge achievement on Saturday for the lads to win an All-Ireland. So there are many chances you get to represent your club at an All-Ireland final, and for the boys at 13, 14, 15 year old there to be above and meet for the weekend and to bring an All-Ireland title home to Kerry is a massive achievement for them, and they'll always remember the day, I suppose, for that.
Yeah, absolutely. A lot of organisation goes into getting to Fáil, I suppose, in the traditional sense, or in the old days, you know, we were all hanging out and staying in people's houses and there was that sense to it. The competition has changed a small bit in recent times, particularly due to COVID, Mark, but it's still an All-Ireland title. It's still something that you have to get organised and get up. And I mean, for a club like Tralee Parnells, who weren't on the radar 10 years ago, to have a young quality side coming up at this level, I mean, that must be hugely encouraging for you, and certainly a vote of I suppose massive encouragement for you.
Yeah, I suppose, look, it's down to the great coaching that's going on with all their coaches since they've been 5, 6, 7 years of age. I suppose this is the first group nearly that have been there since the start, say the 5, 6 year olds, and so that's down to all their coaches up along, and they have to take great credit for that as well. And I suppose, as you said about the organisation of the weekend, we had 5 games, so we had 3 group games, semi-final and final, so it was an all-day job on Saturday. So a huge amount of credit must go to the lads' own parents that were involved in the committee for organising everything last week and the week before, all the sponsors that were involved that got behind all the team. Huge thanks to them as well from all of us in the club. It wouldn't have been possible without all the different sponsors coming on board with us as well for the week. And I suppose in particular, us as a management team, Brian Shannon is the manager. I don't know, I see on the other phone there, which you're not, I think he's on the other side. We got mixed up there a while ago, but he might be on the other side there, but him, he puts in a huge amount of work, and we, your own Andrew Morris, he was with us, Dermot Brennan, brought a different level of expertise to the thing as well. He has 2 All-Irelands, 1 in a month, I suppose, is a fair achievement for a strength and conditioning coach. He won the ladies All-Ireland as well, but the under 14 girls, so
that's right.
Huge for him. And we had Morgan Madden and Sean Ockward as well in with us. But I suppose David Breek, I suppose, had to give massive credit as well, Donald, the amount of time and effort that he has put in the last 10 years has been absolutely massive, and he didn't leave no stone unturned either last week. Anything we wanted, he provided for us, and he was there as well, part of it as well. So,
it's a fantastic story. Looking and Féile was in Kerry in 2016. I mean, people really got to know what the competition was. Brian Shannon, I think you snuck in there on the other line. Fair play, you certainly you were marking Mark Ryle anyway. You answered your phone about 4 seconds.
Yeah.
Brian, what's it mean? What's it mean to yourselves, and what does it mean to the club?
Oh, to the very proud, to the very proud moment for all of us. To be fair, to be involved with such a group of lads that we have at our disposal here, I suppose they really bought into what we believe in. Just I suppose people would know Mark and I and Andrew and the rest of the lads just over the years. Like I suppose it's the work ethic that's involved in the game of hurling nowadays. Like it's the 15-man game or 15-lad game, and all the subs that come on. Like, but it's all down to hard work, and the lads have bought into that. Like, then they believed in us, and we believe in them. And I think it worked out very, very well for us now at the moment. Like, so we've a very talented group there. Mm-hmm. And it's to build on that. But like, I suppose I'll echo what Mark has just said there now, that this didn't just happen since last January. This has been ongoing for the past number of years, you know, with all the coaching up along, and that has to be acknowledged as well, you see. Because mm-hmm. these things just don't happen overnight, like.
Dear, and of course, and off the field, Brian. I mean, like, this is what memories are made of. I mean, you have a group of talented young hurlers there together, coming up along the way. Now they're national champions at a grade in a sport, in a town, possibly that wouldn't be regarded as we'll say the hotbed of hurling, possibly. I mean, all these things are going to be massive positives going forward.
Yes, of course. Like, I think the magnitude of what we've achieved over the weekend, it won't sink in for a long time, I think. But it is like the outpouring of goodwill, for us and for the lads, like over the recent weeks, there has been just it's been to take your breath away, to be honest, you know. So we're receiving a lot of great support around the town, to be fair, and around the county, and that has to be acknowledged as well. You know, but look at it, it's taken a lot of hard work. Yes, look at it, it is, I suppose, predominantly a football town here. But look at I think we all get on well and we work together. And look at, yes, we have a lot of dual players and things like that, but you have to work hand in hand.
Absolutely.
And I think we'd say guys that are playing soccer and football and basketball and all that, you have all these sports will complement each other with the various skills involved, you know.
Absolutely.
And,
well, look, Brian and Mark, we're going to give you an open invitation to bring some of those lads in next week to us here on Terrace Talk.
Thank you.
I think it's an All-Ireland, and it's something that we have done with a lot of other teams, because, you know, at the end of the day, while everybody would love to listen to Mark and Brian and Donal, they certainly want to know who those players were, and there's a lot of proud parents out there who have brought them up and down the roads to Castlelea in a lot of mornings to get to here. And I think, you know what, it's only right to showcase those. So we'll have you on next week, guys, and we'll give you a good solid half hour. And Brian, you can get your notebook out, and Mark you've been here 3 minutes before him, okay, and we'll give you a good seat as well. We'll take a break.
Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry, brought to you in association with Meadowlands Hotel Tralee, where being local means coming home.
Now, of course, here in Terrace Talk, we like to talk all sports, I suppose, and that's the beauty of sport. It doesn't really matter what you have, whether you're a hurley or a football, or whether you've got athletics, and it leads us on to athletics, because it is a sport that we have a proud tradition here in the county, and I suppose from time to time we kind of forget it. We kind of remember it, and we remember it when we win something. And of course, we will be celebrating some great news there over the Nationals at the weekend. But leading on to that, I'm delighted to be joined by Thomas Griffin, of course, of Clarny Valley, well known. Thomas, athletics is a huge part of our tradition, and I suppose at times we kind of lose sight of it, but it's very important to remember it and keep that light going.
Yes, Donald, it's about the sport of athletics, and I'm here chatting on behalf of Kerry Athletics and the Kerry Athletics community. great man Tom Joe Donoghue, who had passed away, was the voice of Kerry Athletics, so we definitely won't be trying to replace Tom Joe. But the slot here, just to try and tell the story around the sport. So in Kerry, there's actually 12 clubs. In North Kerry, there's 6 operating. You've got Listowel AC, St. Brendan's and Ardfert, Tralee Harriers, Spofheen at Barrow, Unreacht, and also Castle Island AC. In Mid Kerry, there's 2 clubs, Farnforth Main Valley and Star of the Lown. And in South and East Kerry, there's 4 clubs operating, Killarney Valley, Ginnive Gwilla, Ever AAC and Kinmare. So there's clubs everywhere for people to join. And again, it's grassroots level where people experience community games like yourself this weekend, with I think 1,200 kids participating.
Yeah, nice.
And then funnels right through to the high performance side of things. And I know you'll be talking to one of the high performance athletes here soon. So we had lots of things going on in athletics this weekend. So just to give your listeners an idea of what was going on in athletics, the Tailteann Games, we had a couple of Kerry athletes compete in the Tailteann Games. So what is that? On Friday, the very best kids from secondary schools athletics have come through, Munster schools athletics, Irish schools athletics, and then into representing their province. So it's a provincial selection event, and there was 3 athletes from Kerry competing. 3 of them took medals. Oisín Lynch, who's operating out of Killarney Valley AC in St. Brendan's College, he took a silver medal in the 800 metres. Jason O'Reilly, also from Killarney Valley AC in St. Brendan's College in Killarney, took a silver medal in the 400. And a fantastic young athlete, Molly O'Riordan, out of Listowel AC in Tarbert Comprehensive, she represented in the 4x300 metre relay for the Munster team and took a bronze medal, and she was also 6th in the 300 metre hurdles. Good news is Oisín and Jason have also been selected on the Irish Schools Athletics team, so they'll be both getting their first Irish vests, which is a fantastic achievement. So that was Friday, what went down. That led us into the National Senior Championships that was televised last night on RTE, and there would have been Kerry competitors in that, and I'm glad to say there was 14 Kerry athletes competed at the very pinnacle of the sport. They competed across lots of events. There was throwing, there was sprinting, there was jumping, there was middle distance, and there was also relay runners. So you had a number of medals taken. So Kerry Athletics and the representatives of Kerry Athletics would have taken 3 medals. So you had current Olympian David Kenny out of Farnforth Main Valley took a bronze medal in the 10-kilometre walk. And just to put it in perspective, the 10-kilometre walk was won by training partners of David's who aren't Irish athletes, but they were able to compete in the Irish Championships. The winner, who is a Swedish athlete, he walked the 10K in 37 minutes, which is actually the fastest time in the world this year. So when you have that standard of athletics happening here in Ireland and our local athletes competing at that level, you know then something is happening right within the sport.
Mm-hmm.
And indeed, the types of events, you had a relay team out of Listowel AC, a girls relay team, 4 girls in it, Sinead Hunt, Rebecca Falvey, Rachel Nealon and Megan Lynch. 4x100 relay sprinting is something that's very skilled. Relay running from people from community games, I would have seen what's involved in the training for that, but at the elite level, these girls took a silver medal, and it just shows you that female sprinting in Kerry and female sprinting in Ireland is on a high at the minute. So for them to achieve that was fantastic. You also had Sarah Leahy, who I think you'll be talking to soon, took a silver medal in the 200 metres and also made the final of what was probably the hottest 100 metre sprint on Irish soil.
Yeah.
So it was absolutely tremendous. There was lots of other competitors from Kerry that competed, and just to kind of name check some of them, you had the distance runners, Jack O'Leary out of Killarney Valley AC in the 800 metres, Niamh O'Mahony out of Riocht, a fantastic distance runner who's up and coming. She ran 17 minutes for 5K. Sean O'Brien is a Killarney athlete who's actually running for Cork Track Club. She made the 1500 metre final and came 7th. And also, I suppose, one of the medals that didn't happen, that should have happened, was Oisín Spillane out of Tralee Harriers in the steeplechase. He just clipped the last barrier in the water jump and went from leading the race to coming 4th. So again, I'm sure he'll be back next year giving it a go. But it just shows you the level that these guys are operating at. We obviously had David in the walk. In the throws from Tralee Harriers, you had a great traditional thrower whose dad is a fantastic thrower as well, a gentleman called Alan O'Connor. Alan came 7th in both the shot and discus. And again, in athletics, there is something for everybody, and that's an important message for the listeners, is that if it's a sport you're thinking and getting involved in, there's so many disciplines within the sport that there is something for everybody. So just find your local club and maybe step up and volunteer and be a coach, because with 2,000 members in all those clubs across Kerry, we're always looking for help, and every club is crying out for assistance to keep the show going. Jumpers, you had a number of jumpers between long jump and high jump. So you had Ciara Kennelly out of Killarney Valley, was sixth in the ladies' high jump. So Ciara's an international standard high jumper. Jordan Lee, who your listeners will know very, very well. Jordan is a Paralympic athlete who competes in the able-bodied circuit as well. Jordan had an unfortunate day where the wind played havoc with the jumpers. And that's something in athletics where the wind can either be your greatest enemy or your greatest friend. And Sarah will probably talk about that later and the challenges with the winds. Killian Griffin in the long jump didn't perform to the level that he normally performs at. And then there was also another long jumper, Madison Wilson-Walker, out of Killarney Valley. Maddie just didn't get a mark as well yesterday because, again, the winds were extremely challenging. Sprinters, you had, out of Tralee Harriers, you had Basit Oyabanji, who's a guy who's been involved in the sport for a long time in Tralee. He had a breakthrough season this year. He ran 10.99 for 100 metres a week and a half ago and joined a uni club of sprinters out of Kerry who've run sub-11 for 100 metres. His clubmate, Killian Griffin, who's a 10.800 metre guy, he made the semi-finals yesterday. Probably was disappointed not to make the final because that's the level that he's at. Again, winds blowing in his face of minus 8 metres per second means that you're not going to hit the times. You had Dion Marcos out of Ríocht Athletics Club. Dion ran a great race in the 400 metres. He was fourth in his heat. But again, the 400 metres this year is absolutely stacked with, you know, guys that have done the Olympic Games and are competing for places on a 4x4 relay team. And also Kevin Lynch, one of the coaches, who's also a masters athlete out of Listowel. He's still putting himself out there racing senior athletes. So that's a great thing to see. So overall, Kerry Athletics, I think, fantastic achievements through a lot of clubs, a lot of great things going on. And the funnel of performance is wide at the base. That's why we need people stepping up, helping up from a volunteering point of view. And that funnel goes through to the performance. And you've got Sarah here to talk to now that'll talk to you about performance.
Yeah, absolutely. Talk about performances. I suppose, look, I know Sarah a long time, and she was running around the field fairly lively at the time with Legion jerseys on her. But now, like, God, Sarah, Belgium, Athens, Geneva, heading off to Stockholm. Does it ever stop?
I hope it doesn't.
Absolutely.
So far, so good.
Brilliant. I looked at those 200 metres, and my God, you took off 100 miles an hour around the corner and the whole lot, and just coming down the back straight, pipped on the line. Was that something that when you were going into the 200 metre final, you said in your own head, yeah, this is gold for me, I'm as good as everybody in this race, this is me? Or did you kind of surprise yourself even?
I definitely went in with a high hopes because I knew the competition, they're all very good, and I, for the 200 that was there, I knew I was kind of up there with them. I knew the girl, Lauren Ken, that was running with, like, she was the competition to kind of to beat. And obviously the other girls I train with, Alana Ryan and things, they're obviously excellent athletes. But I did go in with very high hopes. I knew I was capable on the day to hopefully win the gold. And I started off very well. Obviously the heat went very my way. I was very happy with it. Into minus five win, 24-4. Unfortunately, I think I put it a bit too much into the heat and didn't leave enough for the final. So, and as well, I'm just getting the experience as well with each race to learn to kind of keep my cool during the race. If somebody's running beside me or catching up to me, not to tense up the shoulders and things. So it's definitely an experience I need to work on. So I was still delighted with the silver, senior.
Well, I mean, it's not any ordinary silver; it's a national silver. I mean, you're the second fastest woman, beaten by hardly a fingernail to that goal. So I mean, that puts things in context. And I suppose when people look across at the weekends, I mean, they're looking at big names like Phil Healy and a lot of big names actually, an awful lot of big names now in the ladies' circuit. I mean, sprinting one time was probably more. We looked at the male, and funnily enough, we had a male 100 meter runner, Trevane Morrison. He was in here a couple of years ago. He won 100 metres for the men here in Tralee, and he's departed since. But what is happening in the ladies' world, particularly in athletics, that we're turning more and more, I suppose we're going from kind of being at the back of the group nationally or internationally, kind of now we're mid-table and we're moving up, and we certainly have an awful lot of talented relay runners.
Yeah, no, it's definitely great to see, and they're getting this kind of more recognition and support that they deserve. The ladies are up there really high, like Molly Scott, Rashida and all those, Joan Healy coming back and Sarah Lavin. They've been there, they put the hard work in, and it's really great to see that they're getting the medals and the recognition that they deserve and things, and be travelling to the worlds and stuff and with relays or individuals. So it's definitely very exciting to be watching out for all of them.
And not that, of course, you're in a 100 metre final now as well. You're silver, fantastic performance. You put it away, you must get over that disappointment, and then you rock on then to 100 metres. And I mean, that 100 metre final, I mean, they said yesterday it was a race for the ages at that level. I mean, obviously you were running your own race down your own lane, getting home as fast as you can. But I mean, there must be some buzz that, you know, that this is an epic race, you're involved in it. And do you know what? You're learning and you're developing your craft and your trade. I mean, and this is all hugely positive for you. But what's it like to be involved in a race when you can see the two, was it, I'm going to miss the name, of course, with Rashida and Molly Scott, of course, absolutely. Molly Scott thought she had it on the line. Now, if you thought you had it on the line at 200 metres in the race before, she thought she had it on the line. What's it like to be coming off the track with those athletes?
It's honestly, it's amazing. It's such an honour to be able to be at the standard that I can actually run against them, especially in the final and things, to make it and to experience it with them. And even to just to watch them and learn from them, and even to be friendly with them, talk to them and stuff, is great. Just events to be at and experiences. Yeah.
And of course, it brings you into a level now where you're on that kind of relay track and circuit with other runners. Most of them, your competitors for most of the year. But now you're going away, I presume, maybe in camps or you're going away to the games. What's it like going away, a Killarney girl on her own, heading to Geneva, heading to Greece, heading to these places? Is it dream come true land, or are you still at the measured level where you're kind of saying, well, look, I'll work on this now and I'll get to the next level?
Yeah, I suppose like what you said, I'm getting a taste for it now, and I'm definitely, hopefully, not finished. I want to keep going, getting better. Like the final yesterday, I was obviously delighted to get there, but I was a bit disappointed with the result. I know there's more in me. I was a bit more, I think I should have finished higher than I did. I just didn't perform at the time. So I definitely think with more training and hopefully more experiences of international or even with the relays, I'll get further up and grow my levels and experiences and stuff like that. So I'm excited.
Are people in athletics harsher on themselves on their own performances? I know in a team sport, you know, you can say, oh, we didn't perform, or the guy in the full forward line didn't perform, or the guy in the corner back line was taken. You really are on your own. I mean, you're at your most honest. I mean, it's just literally you and your effort. Is that hard sometimes to judge yourself on that performance, or is that just the nature of the beast of the game?
I think everyone is kind of the same. We are kind of harsh on ourselves because we know the training we put in, what we can achieve, and if your body doesn't do it on the day, you are going to be a bit disappointed in yourself. But it comes down to, obviously, when you do well, it's thanks to everybody around you, the support, the coaches, the training. It's not just for yourself. But when you do kind of have those tough days, you are, I suppose the sport is kind of unforgiving. You kind of mess up once and that's it, especially in like a 100 metre sprint or even the longer races, 800. Whereas in a team sport, you kind of mess up once and like 10 minutes later, you get a goal. It is very different. So it is kind of all, when it comes down to it, it is just kind of you and your performance on the day. But when there's highs, there's huge highs, and then it is thanks to everyone else around you. So it is.
Okay. Are you looking forward to the weekend?
Very much so, yeah. I'm very excited.
Absolutely. It's absolutely fantastic. I mean, you're bouncing out of a very, very positive national championships. I would hesitate to say that a lot of people mightn't have known you before those national championships. Now you're appearing on those team sheets, you're appearing on the results, you're appearing on social media, and even for your own club, Clarny Valley, to have that graphic up there and Raheny and where all those other clubs are and Donegal, the whole lot, and Clarny Valley AC. I say they're exceptionally proud of you back there.
I think so, yeah. They definitely support me in every way they can, and they're very, very nice, and they really show their gratitude and things like that, and they're
We'll be finding out a lot more from Tomás. Tomás, we're going to keep this slot going once a month. You'll keep us
absolutely up
to date. You're not replacing anybody, but you're doing your own thing, which is fantastic. Sarah, we're going to be keeping a look on your results. Now seeing that the whole county knows who you are, they'll all be harsh on you and they'll be all looking for the results. But you know what? It's great, because you know what? The more people that know what you do out there, you will get a little bit more support. And you know what? I think everybody in Kerry should be getting behind their athletes. And even the Talton Cup ones and the ones that have appeared. And of course, David Kenny is just out the road for me as well. Rob Heffernan, of course, is training him and training the person that came in first place. So maybe he's only holding him back. We'll take a break.
Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry, brought to you in association with Meadowlands Hotel Tralee.
where being local means coming home.
No, it was a fantastic week for another Kerry man. Of course, he won his superbike title in Mondello Park. On the line now is Emmett O'Grady. Emmett, we thought you were going to have the motorbike outside the door, but apparently you have it locked up in the shed still.
Yeah. Small bit wet now to be driving the bike down to Tralee, down to the centre. But it's a fantastic weekend, I suppose. Very, very happy with the results that we got.
Yeah. Just to explain to people that won't know, because I'm going to absolutely butcher it and say that it was just the guys riding around on a motorbike in Mondello, but it's much better and bigger than that. What was the event you were in, and what was the class you were racing?
So I race in the Superbike and the Super Sport, which basically is it's the Mondello Masters Championship, sponsored by Dunlop. It's the largest motorcycle championship in Ireland that's run in Mondello on two different tracks over the year, and they bring a range of talent from UK and stuff over, lads from UK competing in it. So it's probably one of the largest championships here in Ireland, I say, and. That's pretty much what it is. There's a big field of riders out there to qualify to get into the certain race, and it's for anyone that's watched Formula One or anything, it's much the same schedule as that. You have your practices, you have your qualifying, and then you have your races.
Mm-hmm. And of course, it's very important to have your bike ready and able. I presume you have a big backroom team or mechanics or a whole lot that keep you. And who are some of those characters?
We do. Luckily enough, over my career I've managed to ride for certain teams and been able to pick up good sponsors, and this for the last 4 years now we've been with Tag Racing. They're one of the most professional outfits in Ireland. They're a team from Dublin. They have, I suppose, they're a big company that they're able to provide the backing for the bike and stuff like that, which is expensive. But we have a mechanic here from town, Derek Attlee, who'd be the main mechanic for the bike. He'd look after that throughout the week and the winter months and stuff, to have it prepped and stuff like that. But it's there's a range of people that have the transport to bring the show on the road and put up the pit box inside the garage, and it's a team effort.
Mm-hmm. And what are some of the speeds you get up to, Emmett, heading down that back straight or those long straights out in the countryside of Mondello?
In Mondello, I suppose you'd gear the bike for the track. This top speed Mondello would be about 160-ish in the back straight out of the country. In other tracks, in the Bishop's Court and ones that we compete in, the bike is well capable of doing over 200 miles an hour. So it's top of the range machinery that we have.
Yeah, absolutely, 200 miles an hour. How would you hold your nerve on a motorbike going 200 miles an hour? I mean, you know me, I can't drive past 45 miles an hour, and I've got hands on the wheel. But what's it like at 200 miles an hour?
To be fair, it's you don't realize what you're doing, because you're so like every other sport when you're in it. You take that part of it out of it. It's you're in the competitive mode, and if you were to sit back and think of the speed you're doing, I suppose you would be doing the speed you were doing.
You'll be sitting watching it. Where does the season go from here? Obviously, you've got the bug now for winning. Is there a target on your back?
This is from 2018, being the Super Sports champion. We went back into that class as well this year. The team bought a new bike, the Maxxis Group, or the Harris Group, should I say, up in Dublin. They provided new machinery to compete in that also. So this weekend we ended up qualifying poorly, but ended up finishing strongly with two wins. Where the previous weekend we actually qualified pole in both events, the 600cc and the 1000cc, and we ended up ending on our ear in both events at the end of that. So it's going forward into next weekend, I think we're sitting third in the championship in the 1000cc, the superbike, and I am sitting second in the Super Sport. Was like that big target on the back for everyone coming towards me now.
Well, sure.
They'll be hoping to get by me. Absolutely. Is what I'd be hoping.
Well, it's better to have fellas chasing you, Emmett, than be chasing other fellas, I'd imagine. Emmett O'Grady, thanks for joining us this evening, and we'll certainly keep an eye on you throughout the season. It's a fantastic win, and I know how hard you've actually worked to get to this level, and hopefully you can push on now, and all the very best to you on that, Emmett.
Lovely. Thank you, Don.
And of course, Emmett O'Grady there, ending our show this evening. Hi, Donal. When you mention running in Kerry, you have to think of the great John Griffin and his achievements. Absolutely. John Griffin, of course, of Tralee. Thanks to Tomás Griffin for all he does in coaching athletics in Kerry. What a wonderful ambassador for Kerry athletics on his own. And Donal, very important, Scorna Bosty County Finals go ahead next Saturday, the 2nd of July, at the Community Centre in Drummond. That's in Killinley, of course, commencing at 2:30 for the Tráth na Cist and 4 p.m. for the main competitions, and extending all the best wishes to all the competitors. That's from Christy Quilleen, and we just fitted you in there, Christy. Plenty time. Listen, we'll do it all again next week, but I won't be here. It'll be Ivan Hurley who'll be driving the ship, and you'll see me in 2 weeks' time, hopefully with a good bit of Farmer's 10. Donal Barry, out this evening.